You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Friday, October 18th, 2019. You did it. You made it. You've been working for it. Here it is. The weekend is finally upon us, and we're about 48 hours, depending on when you're listening to this, away from the Dallas Cowboys. Really, playing the biggest game of their season, the biggest game of Jason Garrett's career. Maybe not 48 hours, maybe like 55 hours from now, just because of the whole Sunday Night Football thing. But we're about 48 hours away. Again, I don't know when you're listening to this. Maybe you're up at the crack of dawn. Maybe you're listening at lunchtime. Either way, about 48 hours from Week 7's Sunday action in the NFL. We did have, obviously, some Thursday Night Football action. Of course, we had some ALCS action. The Houston Astros getting the dub in Game 4. One win away from getting back to the World Series. Game 5 tonight, on Friday night, I have a high school game. We have the Madison Mavericks and Lee Volunteers on ESPN San Antonio. You can listen to that on 1250 ESPN San Antonio, 94.5 FM. You can always listen on the go at ESPNSA.com. Great District 27-6A game here in San Antonio. So we'll have the Stros game on in the press box. Hopefully they pull it off. Stros Nationals will hopefully be a lot of fun, barring a miracle comeback by the Yanks. But, while the Stros were doing their thing, the NFL world held its breath as Thursday Night Football. We've gotten some good games, honestly. This season's Thursday Night games have been pretty good. We had not a great game on Thursday night between the Chiefs and Broncos, but we had quite the scare. Kansas City quarterback Pat Mahomes left early on in the second quarter with an apparent knee injury. We're recording this late Friday night. I'm talking like real late Friday night. So the exact details of the injury are still unknown. Obviously, the Chiefs still have to get an MRI and see the results and everything on Mahomes. I think it goes without saying, we're certainly hoping the best for him. Nobody wants one of the brightest young stars in the league to be hurt for any period of time. Pat Mahomes is so much fun to watch. So we'll see what happens. He tweeted, and expressed some optimism, so there is that. But again, hopefully all is well with Pat Mahomes. The Broncos are so bad. Oh my gosh. The Broncos are... I feel bad for Emmanuel Sanders, honestly, because he's such a talented receiver. I mean, he's got a ring at this point. Let him go get another. I mean, let Emmanuel Sanders go somewhere else. And not that the Cowboys need him, and I don't mean to do that, but Emmanuel Sanders, once upon a time, I'd have to dig it up, but I remember that he had liked a tweet, something to the effect of, if he was traded, he wanted to be traded to the Cowboys. Obviously, he's an SMU guy, so there's that familiarity there, but... the Cowboys hardly need a wide receiver at this point. Although you're going to say, well, Amari Cooper's hurt and Randall Cobb's hurt. Look, we'll get to the injury reports in a second. In fact, let's do that now. So Thursday's injury report for the Cowboys was a little bit better. A little bit better than Wednesday's. It wasn't hard to be better than Wednesday's. The following players did not practice for the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday. Anthony Brown, Randall Cobb, Amari Cooper. We'll get to him here in a second. Michael Gallup was a limited participant, but Byron Jones did not practice. Other limited participants in practice, Dorrance Armstrong, Lyle Collins was a limited participant. Already mentioned Gallup. Chris Jones, the Puntisher, of course, and Tyron Smith, full practice for a few Cowboys. Travis Frederick, who was back, was dealing with a personal issue, Jason Garrett said on Wednesday. That's why he didn't practice. Other full participants include Sean Lee, again, pretty crazy world that he is the epitome of health for the Cowboys and Tony Pollard. If you care about the Eagles are certainly very, very banged up themselves. Fletcher Cox was a full participant in practice after not practicing on Wednesday. Ronald Darby was a limited participant in practice. He's been limited all week long. And the following players did not practice for Philly on Thursday. They also did not practice on Wednesday, for what it's worth. Nigel Bradham, DeSean Jackson, Timmy Jernigan, Avante Maddox, not shocking, obviously, Jason Peters, and Darren Sproles. The growing sort of sensation, the growing feeling, the growing expectation is that Philly will be without Jason Peters and DeSean Jackson for this all-important NFC East matchup on Sunday night. So good news, I think. Again, I mean, as far as good news goes on the Lyle Collins, Tyron Smith front, Amari Cooper, I mentioned, you know, we would get to him. He did say that he's going to try to practice on Friday. As this is our Friday episode, we get these out early in the morning for you, so you have it on your way to work or whatever. We don't know the status of his Friday practice yet, but you can rest assured that as soon as that information is available, we'll have it for you at blogontheboys.com. Fridays are always a great day of information, as Jason Garrett has his press conference, but I meant to say Jerry Jones. It's late, you know, you gotta be honest, it's a little bit late. Jerry Jones will be on 105.3 The Fan, as he always is on Friday morning. So hopefully Jerry, you know, he'll usually tell you. He'll usually be honest about what he's expecting anyway in terms of big injuries and whether guys are going to play or not. But, you know, we talked on Thursday's episode about a growing sense of optimism. Some of you reached out and said that you kind of shared that. And I do feel that way. I mean, I do feel that this game is, I don't want to say coming up Cowboys, but it is interesting to see how the Cowboys have kind of stuck together, right? We know that. The Cowboys have really stuck together. That's one thing that really doesn't happen. I know the MMQB reported that there was a lack of trust in assignments and things like that, but that's not a lack of trust in their identity, their, you know, relationships with each other. The Cowboys locker room is pretty solid. I mean, And to that degree, I mean, you know, we've mentioned this before too. I mean, they really trust and believe in Jason Garrett. Now, you might not, you know, obviously a lot of you don't, but for what it's worth, the Dallas Cowboys themselves, they do go to bat for him. You know, this is a weird story and not worth a whole lot of time, but it is certainly worth mentioning considering the Dallas Cowboys host the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday night. There are some reports of dissension. Oh, yeah. Coming from the Philadelphia Eagles locker room, you'll remember that previously, over the offseason and whatnot, it was reported that some Eagles players took issue with quarterback Carson Wentz, calling him things like egotistical. There have been some rumblings there before, and some rumblings popped up again on Thursday. It all started, to kind of give you the backstory. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey was traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Los Angeles Rams this week. Obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles need help in the secondary. Some Eagles players, according to ESPN's Jacina Anderson, were a little bit pissed off that they did not get Jalen Ramsey on their team. They talked about how Howie Roseman dropped the ball, I believe was the quote. And so that was kind of the tip of the iceberg for Eagles players venting. Then Jacina Anderson went on ESPN and talked about how a certain Eagles player, an unnamed Eagles player, obviously, has a little bit of issue with the Eagles offense and Carson Wentz. Here's Jacina Anderson on ESPN.
3-3, obviously the Eagles source also talked to me about how they feel like that offense is functioning. One of the things that they said is, we need to make bleep simpler. Okay, sometimes we just need to handle what is manageable. They said even Peyton Manning knew when to check it down.
Well, well, well. Even Peyton Manning knew when to check it down. Oh, yeah. Look, maybe this is being blown up. You know, maybe it really is that big of a deal. Maybe there is a particular Eagles player that, you know, does have an issue with Carson Wentz not checking the ball down. For what it's worth, PFF has Carson Wentz graded as the second best quarterback in the NFL through 6 weeks. Dak Prescott is third, for what it's worth. So Carson Wentz isn't playing bad football by any means. I mean, you know, and we talked about this with Kist when, you know, he joined the show on Thursday. I mean, about how both Wentz and Dak are being let down by a lot of what's around him. And in fact, you know, Kist does fantastic work for BGN Radio, and Bleeding Green Nation are our friends at Blogging the Boys. I mean, they do such a great job covering the Eagles. They had a great article about all this, and they talked about how, you know, they didn't point fingers necessarily, but there is suspicion that the Eagles player who questions Carson Wentz, perhaps, or the offensive disposition as a whole, is actually wide receiver Nelson Aguilar. You'll remember that Nelson Aguilar had the big drop when the Eagles last played on Sunday Night Football when they visited the Atlanta Falcons. So, look, dissension inside the Eagles locker room is not a bad thing for the Cowboys, certainly. And since this did happen on Thursday, it's something I would imagine that Doug Peterson will be asked about today on Friday. If any other Eagles player does any media session on Friday, I imagine it will come up. But so again, if you're a Cowboys fan, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have, you know, some bad times happening in the opposing team's locker room. We never wish ill will or injuries or anything like that, but if they can't get along, it's probably a good thing from a football standpoint. Let's talk about advantages that the Cowboys seemingly have this Sunday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe you think there are none. Maybe you think there are a lot. Let's get into it. Before we do, we're going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, so advantages that the Dallas Cowboys seem to have over the Philadelphia Eagles, I would say quarterback. I think one. I mean, and I'm talking, you know, I think the Cowboys quarterback's better than the Eagles quarterback, and that is by the slightest of margins right now. I think that Dak is playing better than Carson, and that's because I think Carson's playing at an elite level. I think that they're both being let down by their receivers. I think they're both being let down by their defenses. I think they're both sort of inhibited by all of those circumstances and situations, and so I think that Dak is more capable of sort of carrying his team to victory, as evidenced perhaps by the locker room, you know, dysfunction. I mean, you never hear that from Dak Prescott's teammates. They go to battle for him, and they all love him, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that matters. I mean, is it the biggest deal? No, but I mean, that matters. And so that's where I think they have an advantage. They obviously have an advantage in the run game, although I think right now you've probably got to give the overall offensive line, you know, up front advantage to the Eagles. I mean, that's one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. And considering how banged up the Cowboys are, I know Jason Peters is probably not going to play. I mean, if you're down Lyle Collins and Tyron Smith, the advantage belongs to Philadelphia. I mean, that goes without saying. In terms of pass catchers, you know, for a long time, it felt like Philly really had this edge over the Cowboys, specifically because of Zach Ertz. But if Amari Cooper plays, this is even, you know, to a larger degree. If Amari doesn't play, I think it's kind of a wash. I really do, even with no DeSean Jackson. I mean, the Eagles just, they have a way. And I think, you know, when you when you look at their pass catchers, they obviously are playing against the Cowboys secondary, which has not played well. And so that's a big part of it. You know, that's a big part of why they would seemingly theoretically have their own advantage. I think defensively, I don't know that, you know, I think the only potential advantage the Cowboys have over the Eagles defensively is in the middle. I think that maybe their linebacking core is better and maybe they have more potential in the secondary, but we've got to stop. You know what I mean? Like, I know the Eagles secondary is really bad, and that's probably why there is so much, you know, pissed offness for them not trading for Jalen Ramsey. But I don't know that we can objectively say the Cowboys secondary is better. Yeah, they've had better moments, maybe. Like, maybe their peak has been better so far this season, but that's not saying much. I mean, you know, the Cowboys secondary, to a large... Chidobe Awuzie has played really badly so far this season. Obviously, Jeff Heath has not played well. Xavier Woods came on strong, and it's just the situations of game have kind of gone away from him being allowed to show his strengths. Byron Jones is not playing to the exact level that he was last season. So overall, I mean, it's hard for me to say, oh yeah, the Cowboys secondary is unquestionably better than the Eagles. And I think from that perspective too, I mean, I don't know that you can slam dunk, you know, say that the Cowboys linebacking core is better. The Cowboys linebacking core is one of the most disappointing position groups across the entire NFL. If you look at all NFL position groups and the ones that were supposed to be great, were supposed to dominate, were supposed to be near the top across the rest of the NFL, everybody expected the Cowboys to have the best linebacking group in the NFL. Oh, dude, they got the Wolf Hunter, Leighton Van Der Esch. He's going to be in the second year. He's going to be amazing. Jalen Smith, he just got paid. He's awesome. The Cowboys linebacking core is so good that Sean Lee can't even get on the field. Yes, all those things are true. However, the Cowboys linebacking core has found a way to stay disappointing. And while that may be true to all of us, it isn't true to somebody who's going to be playing against them on Sunday. I thought this was really interesting. And this all could just be, you know, smoke and, you know, just talking to the media. But Philadelphia Eagles tight end Zach Ertz had some interesting comments in general. You know, he's very aware of how the Cowboys are going to play him, but he also was quite complimentary to the middle of the Dallas Cowboys defense. Here is Zach Ertz, courtesy of PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can watch the film all you want. You kind of know what you're going to see. You're going to find little things, but at the end of the day, you're going to be extremely familiar with the person that I've gone against. The safety is 38. Byron Jones, third down, is going to cover me. If he's healthy, DeMarcus Lawrence, probably one of the top two defensive ends in the league. Robert Quinn played against him a long time ago. He's kind of the new guy for me. The three linebackers they got, probably the three best in the league. Really talented group, really talented defense. They fly around the ball. Rod Marinelli does an incredible job with them. Chris Richard in the secondary, phenomenal coach. So I got a lot of respect for them. It's going to be a good game.
It does feel like... you know, well, Zach Ertz obviously gave a lot of compliments to a lot of people there, right? I mean, he did not mention Jeff Heath's name. Maybe he's afraid to say Jeff Heath's name. You know, we mentioned this with Kiss on Thursday, how Zach Ertz kind of got owned by Jeff Heath in Philadelphia last year. So maybe he's just afraid to speak his name because he didn't mention everybody else by name. He talked about Byron Jones, said, yeah, Byron's going to cover me on third downs if he's healthy. We all know Byron, you know, not super healthy right now. He did, you know, mention the linebacking core. He mentioned Chris Richard. He mentioned Rod Marinelli. He mentioned DeMarcus Lawrence. And while Zach was very complimentary, it feels like, I'm going to guess, maybe, that you yourself are listening to that and going, Chris Richard, Rod Marinelli, DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, you're rolling your eyes because you don't think these dudes have played well. I mean, you know, Chris Richard's really not done that well so far this season. And Rod Marinelli, hot boys. Whoa, where'd they go? I mean, I don't know. DeMarcus Lawrence, while I certainly believe he's played well, I mean, I don't think he's trash by any means. I mean, he hasn't been this, like, war daddy type player. And that's what everybody expects from him. And so criticism's going to come. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that Zach really believes those things or if it's just media hub, but I do believe that he's at the very least aware of how, you know, this game's going to go down. And that's how things roll. I mean, you know, when you play your division rival, you could throw the records out the books because the teams know each other so well. That is really lame and a cliche, but it is actually kind of true. I mean, you know, he knows Byron Jones very well. He knows that Byron's going to cover him on third downs. And so I think, you know, I know a lot of people probably hear that and go, well, then don't do it. You know, do something different. You have to do it. I mean, that's Byron's thing. That's Byron Jones' specialty. And so, you know, you have to go with what you know to a large degree. And, you know, we talked about this on the 750 on Thursday. I think Zach Ertz is a guy that can change this game. I do, because we've seen the Cowboys defense. They love to preach this. I mean, they've bent and then broken, but they love to bend but not break. And Zach Ertz is a guy that can be the break after the bend. I mean, you know, I said it on the 750. I mean, you know, I think we're going to see the Cowboys force, not a lot, but force their fair share of third and fours, third and sixes, third and sevens. And, you know, time after time, it seems like the Cowboys kind of give those up. They cough those up, whether it's to a Zach Ertz or a Robbie Anderson or a Michael Thomas. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the Cowboys, they get beat over the middle. That you know, linebacking core that Zach Ertz was so fond of, that Byron Jones that's covering him. I mean, they typically get beat in those situations, and that's a really unfortunate thing. This defense is going to have to play its best game of the season, and it's going to have to match the Cowboys' offense. I mean, you know, the Cowboys' offense is really regarded well. You know, Pro Football Focus has them the second best offense in the NFL, or at least they did, I believe. I can't remember the last time I checked now. Might have been on Monday before it was refreshed. But the point is, they're near the top. They're near the top in DVOA rankings. I mean, the Cowboys' offense is doing well. The Cowboys' offense is doing their part, and it's time for the Cowboys' defense to live up and do their part. I think that goes without saying. I think we all agree with that. This is got to be a game where DeMarcus Lawrence comes out and just dominates, where Robert Quinn comes out and continues to dominate, where Leighton Vander Esch, I mean, that first Eagles game last season, the one in Philly, that was when Leighton Vander Esch like really announced himself to the NFL, because remember, it was the week after that he had the interception in Philadelphia, or excuse me, in Atlanta. He did have an interception in Philadelphia. The Wolf Hunter's got to do his thing. I mean, this is, you know, we're talking about advantages. The Cowboys have to have the complete defensive advantage on Sunday night. That's going to be what makes the difference. So, yeah, that's how I feel about that. I might write about this, so be on the lookout at blogontheboys.com. I just feel like Doug Peterson, you know, really wants this win, obviously, and really wants to change things up. It feels like Doug Peterson wants the ball first. He said that to a degree earlier this week on the radio. I think that's something that could kind of change this game. And so I mentioned this, you know, I know earlier in the week, I think the Cowboys should take the ball first. I really do. I think the Cowboys should take the ball first because they got to play from downhill. They cannot get behind. We've seen them get behind against the Packers, against the Jets, and it did not go well. They cannot get behind. Believe me, I love deferring and getting the ball in the second half and double dipping if you get the ball at the end of the first half, etc. But the Cowboys, they just have to play from ahead. They have to play downhill. That's their game, and they got to play it well. And I think they might. I think they might do that against a team that that is expecting it. But that's where I've chosen to plant my flag. So yeah, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Astros. Enjoy college football. Enjoy the cooler weather. Maybe you're making an awesome meal. I hope you enjoy it. Maybe you're making an awesome baked good. I hope you enjoy that. Whatever you got going on, I hope it's fantastic for you. Make sure to subscribe to the Blogging the Boys podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. I know we have a lot of Apple users, and we're on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Play. You can ask Alexa about us. If you need a link to subscribe, you don't know where to find one, hit me up and I will get it for you. I promise. Wherever you want to subscribe, I'll get you that link so you can hit me up. You can DM me on Twitter. My DMs are open. You can DM me on Instagram. I'm at RJ Ochoa on Twitter and Instagram as well. You can shoot me an email. I'm rj.ochoa@sbnation.com. And if you do subscribe, we certainly appreciate it. And if you have the time to give us a rating, write a review, those things go such a long way. We've grown a lot. I mean, you know, you heard Kiss and I talk about it on Thursday. The SB Nation podcast network as a whole, but the Blog of the Boys podcast network has grown so much over the last year, and we're trying to do so many cool things and so much more. And so all of your feedback and comments are appreciated, and they mean a lot. They really do. From the bottom of all of our hearts, we very much appreciate those of you who have chosen to make us part of your Cowboys fandom and your Cowboys experience. We're all one big family, after all. And so it's great to be a part of it with you. So have the best Friday ever, right? I mean, just freaking do it, right? Like, quit talking about it, be about it. Have the best Friday ever. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.